My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Around the AFC North, it's a celebrated segment on this show, and it makes its way back today. Some people clamor for Around the AFC North weekly. Some have even said hourly. I think that's ridiculous. Ken Wyman doesn't have that kind of time from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Ken, we love you. We love this segment. Did you know that the Olympics begin today?
I knew it was coming because I was watching the basketball, but no, I did not know it started today. It's funny. It's just not, for me at least, it's not as relevant as it was when I was a kid.
Ken used to be a Patriot, and now I have my questions. It's France and the United States today at 3 o'clock, I believe, our time.
I can't wait. That's appointment viewing. I'll be on the air, but I'll have it on in the studio.
Thank you. You'll be distracted. I can tell already.
Yes.
All right, Ken, speaking of distractions, we're wondering how much of a distraction it could be that, again, there's a new-look coaching staff in Baltimore, although you guys have handled coaching changes and coordinator changes over the years pretty well. But losing Mike McDonald, what is the feel right there in Baltimore, also considering the players that have been lost?
Yeah, I think the combination is interesting, but as you mentioned, they've lost coaches before, and Zach Orr is a guy they love. He was a player with the Ravens. He was a coach, linebacker coach last year. I think that they're pretty confident he's going to handle it. And remember, Mike McDonald didn't exactly hit the ground running. There were a little bit of growing pains with him year one. By the end of year one, he was locked in, and then year two, they're great. Now he's a head coach. So I feel like they think they're fine with the coaching staff. I'm more concerned about like how they really haven't replaced Jadeveon Clowney, who was so good for them a year ago.
We've spent a good chunk of time today talking about a 30-year-old player on the Browns in Amari Cooper. Well, one of the big additions in Baltimore this offseason is a 30-year-old running back in Derrick Henry. What are expectations like internally for Henry this year?
They expect him to be, at worst, they expect him to be much better than Gus Edwards was a year ago. And they think that, and I think most people here think that with Lamar Jackson and him, that the defenses are going to be so stressed about the whole thing. Like, I don't know that he's having 280 carries, but I think that he's going to be a mathematician. The other part of it is, and remember, with the Ravens, it's about the postseason. They're not going to forget to run the football if Derrick Henry's on the team.
We're talking to Ken Wyman around the AFC North. So Harbaugh stuck up for his QB, Lamar Jackson, who nobody doubts his abilities during the regular season, but obviously in the playoffs, he has not broken through. He wins an MVP last year, but then the disappointment and a lot of questions about how he was used throughout the playoffs. First of all, do you believe Harbaugh when he says that there's a potential for Lamar Jackson to be the best to ever play the game?
Well, when Patrick Mahomes is playing at the same time, it's a tough one. I didn't understand like where that came from, quite frankly. It was a kind of an odd thing, but the reality is Lamar Jackson has accomplished everything he could accomplish in the regular season. Not only has he won two MVPs, but basically when he's healthy, they compete for the one seed. Like, take the COVID year out. The last 2 years before last year, they're the one seed entering December, and he gets hurt. He misses all of December, and 1 year they miss the playoffs. The next year they just get in as a wild card. But he's accomplished everything in the regular season. But the reality is, until they succeed in the playoffs, and he hasn't played well in the playoffs. So, like, until he accomplishes those goals, playing well in the playoffs, succeeding in the playoffs, there will be questions, and I think they're legitimate.
All right, Ken, we got to go, but I'm going to ask everybody this. Our esteemed panel, you'll be the first one to lock in your vote. Give me a team in this brutal, competitive AFC North that you are not buying.
Unfortunately, it's your team. It's Deshaun Watson. That team was going nowhere when he got hurt, and you brought in Joe Flacco, and he led you guys to the playoffs. I need to see Deshaun Watson do it before I'm buying the Cleveland Browns.
Ken, we appreciate you. As always, enjoy your soccer today.
Thanks, man.
All right, we go to James Rapine. He heard the end of that answer. We'll get to that same question with James. They are very excited in Cincinnati about not only Joe Burrow showing up, but a new look, Joe Burrow. James Rapine, your thoughts.
Interesting. It's an interesting look. As long as his passes are accurate, I don't think anyone really cares what he looks like. But I knew about it, Anthony, but when I saw it, it was still a bit of a shock to the system. I'm not going to lie to you.
Are you going to treat your hair like that? And
you could do it.
And also, Anthony has a photo shoot next week. Should he try and pull off that look?
He absolutely should, assuming he wants to resemble the top quarterback in the division. There we go. There's a bulletin board material, at least for the Ravens. That being said, I don't really need to do anything to my hair for it to look like that. Maybe not get a fade and just a straight buzz cut. Other than that, it's pretty close color-wise.
Have you guys gone to, because we're star for football, obviously, have you guys gone to the lengths or your fans of like breaking down the psychology on why Burrow would want to do this right now?
I think people have thought about that, especially when you combine it with the fashion week and just all of the things that we've seen or heard from Burrow over the past month and a half or so. I have not, but it is interesting that he chooses now. And I do think it is worth noting T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. I don't know if it's related. I feel like it is. We'll find out later today. All three of them cut their hair this offseason, rocking the short hair.
So there could be unity there. I remember the Indiana Pacers back in the early 90s going into the playoffs. Ooh. Everybody would shave their hair. Even Rick Smits would shave their hair. They looked ridiculous. They don't really do that in today's sports anymore.
That didn't work for the Pacers either. So as far as winning an NBA title. So we'll see if it works for these Bengals.
You brought up the wide receivers, and we've seen a lot of contracts handed out to wide receivers. We saw a restructure yesterday here. That has not happened in Cincinnati. How's that room going to stay healthy all year despite none of those guys being locked in long term?
Yeah, I think Jamar's comfortable waiting. And I know there's some national stuff out there, and maybe he comes out and says something different this week. But I think, and the vibe I get is that his camp is comfortable waiting, and it's because of the precedent that was set with Justin Jefferson. He didn't get extended until after his fourth year, and waiting allowed him to get even more money. And so I think Jamar is perfectly content letting CeeDee Lamb potentially get paid first or some of these other receivers, because the money isn't going to go down. It's only going to go up. So I think he's okay. And then as far as T. Higgins goes, there's just not much leverage there. He had to play on the tag. He knew it. And so I think he knows if he goes out there and plays at a high level that he'll get paid next offseason.
What did you make of the conversation finally emerging between the owner and Joe Burrow on that golf cart, which has now become a viral talking point on the internet?
Yeah, I'm surprised that it was exactly what we speculated at the time. like almost identical. Was like, oh yeah, Mike's telling him he's not going to play. Joe's probably lobbying for a shot, and he got his shot. Played pretty well considering he was dealing with a calf strain, and they won the game. And they were 0-2, and they were going against the Rams, and that was a big game for the Bengals last year to kind of keep their hopes alive early in the year. But yeah, I was surprised that Mike Brown was as honest about that conversation, and I think the honesty had a lot to do with him meddling, and he doesn't like to meddle, especially at this stage of his tenure and career. And so I appreciated the honesty for sure. It also shows how powerful Joe Burrow is in the organization, I would say.
All right, James, one last question. I asked Ken Weinman this. We know how competitive the division is. Give me the one team in the AFC North you're not buying right now.
Yeah, I think, and I get why Ken said with the Deshaun Watson conversation, said the Browns. But to me, we saw Kevin Stefanski overcome lackluster quarterback play last year and figure it out. And so you look at that roster, I think they can match up with all three of the teams in the division. And the one team that kind of stands out and still has questionable quarterback play at best is the Steelers. And I know they have a decent culture. I know they have some good players on defense, especially. You lose some pieces at wide receiver. I think the Steelers are the fourth most talented team.
All right, thank you, James. I appreciate you as always. We continue on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome in Andrew Filippone from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. I'll save that question for last that you just heard, so you have some time to think about it. Pony, how is Russell Wilson doing there, and is anybody asking for him to just go ahead and get cut already so you can get to Justin Fields?
Well, no one's asking that, Lima, because the last 2 years, James Rapine wants to talk about lackluster quarterback play with all the quarterbacks you started. The Steelers had combined 13 passing touchdowns. The year before that, they had 12. You add that up, that's 25. Russell Wilson in Denver, the season where he got benched at the end of the year, had 26, more than the last 2 years. So there is the hope here that we get Russell Wilson in Seattle and not the guy that we saw in Denver the last two seasons. Although we would take the guy in Denver last year. If they had 2023 Russell Wilson at quarterback last year instead of Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, and Mason Rudolph, the Steelers might have won the AFC North.
If they get that version of Russell Wilson, what does that mean for Justin Fields?
That he's a gadget guy, that he's a package guy, that he's someone that gets integrated into the offense but isn't the starter, gets used like Lamar Jackson did his rookie year in Baltimore. I mean, I know that they've denied it, and they've said it ain't happening, including when the GM Omar Khan came on our show, but I do think they'd use him on kickoff returns. I think that that's a loophole, that that's a rule that teams are going to want to exploit. And he's such a great athlete, and he's so incredible in the open field, even with Cordarrelle Patterson now with the Steelers. I could see both of those guys back there returning kicks.
The 11th overall pick in the 2021 draft, relegated to gadget guy and kickoff return. You heard it there from Andrew Filippone.
Your Ohio State Buckeyes.
Well, the number three guy in that draft, what is he up to? Lima, how about the number two guy in that draft?
Over under Justin Fields' touchdown throws this year, 6.
I'm going to go over.
Okay, write it down. We are writing it down.
Put it on the board.
As we speak. We've put it on the board officially.
A lot of gadget touchdowns.
That is a lot of gadget.
No,
oh, I said throws.
No, because Lima, hold on. Lima did not ask me what I think is going to happen. I was asked what happens if Russell Wilson plays like he did last year.
What do you think is going to happen?
I think Russell Wilson loses the job around Thanksgiving.
All right, TJ Watt. It has been the summer of disrespect for TJ Watt. Every time we get any kind of a ranking, any kind of a top 100, any kind of a pass rush ranking, any kind of an executive poll, the same name comes up ahead of TJ Watt. That would be Myles Garrett. Are people outraged in Pittsburgh? And what does it mean? Is it going to be a comeback season for the ages? A chip on the shoulder season for TJ Watt?
Well, they're outraged because of how the Defensive Player of the Year voting went. And they should be, because it was the only award, to my knowledge, in the history of the NFL where analytics were used to decide who should win it. That didn't happen with the MVP. If we're gonna pull up Pro Football Focus grades and Next Gen stats on MVP, Josh Allen should have won the award over Lamar Jackson. But they went old school with that. He was the best player on the team that won the most games. Apparently, sacks and forced fumbles and interceptions and tackles for loss and all that stuff didn't matter. It was only pressure rate and pressures and double teams that determined the defensive player of the year, even though that had never been used as the standard or the measuring stick for that award in the history of the award. So they should be pissed because the goalpost got moved. And my expectation is that Watt will lead the NFL in sacks again, but won't win the award because they'll say, well, he gets to face right tackles and he doesn't face as many double teams because the Steelers have a great front seven.
So you bring up Lamar winning the MVP as the best player on the best team, correct?
Yeah, the Ravens had the most wins in the NFL last season.
So Myles Garrett was the best defensive player on the best defense in the regular season. How's that different?
You can't put it on the board. Yes.
I'm sorry. Were the Browns number one in points allowed last year?
Fewest yards allowed. Number one per game.
So that's how they were the best defenses now?
Number one in total defense.
So that's how you deem the best defenses, who finishes first in total yards, not who gives up the fewest points?
They are number one in total defense.
You're not answering my question.
I am answering your question.
So you think total defense is a better barometer than how many points you give up?
It's not always points because the Browns threw a ton of pick sixes last year, too. Joe Flacco threw like five pick sixes. That counts category.
How much time have you guys entertained the Watt versus Garrett discussion this summer? Has it been 3 days a week, four days a week?
It's been the summer of Skeens.
All 5 days.
It's been the summer of Paul Skeens. He is the biggest star in baseball, and he's dating Libby Dunn, Anthony, so that kind of takes precedent. And by the way,
have you found it a little creepy that all of the hosts at your station, along with Ken Carmen, have followed Livy Dunn on social media and all her accounts? Do you find that creepy?
Ken has?
I think he deleted it after I called him out on it last week.
By the way, how many teams in the NFL gave up more points on the road last year than the Cleveland Browns? I'll wait.
Danny, do you have that answer?
No idea.
Give me one team in the division you are not buying. Filippone, give me one team you're not buying in the division.
Your team.
What do the analytics say about T.J. Watt and his lack of playoff wins?
What do the analytics say about that?
Thank you for the call. That's Filippone, and that's around the AFC North. Thank you, Ken Weinman. Thank you, James Rapine. And thank you, Andrew Filippone there in Pittsburgh. So we had a lot of different responses there. It gets very interesting in talking about this very competitive division. We do have one national media football pundit that doesn't think Deshaun Watson's going to get back to where he used to be. But he explains when we come back. Plus, what is the point of Team USA basketball? Danny, I ask you that question. Please reserve your answer for the following segments here on 92.3 The Fan. Get some more Browns here in a few minutes, but the Guardians deserve some time with that win yesterday, snapping the losing streak and finding some firepower once again at the plate. Boy, yesterday it seemed a little more like the earlier season Guardians. You saw the power. You didn't see the scuffling. You didn't see guys as indecisive at the plate. And, you know, three straight innings. They lead off with home runs, and they were able to keep their distance. I know Detroit rallied a bit, but a 5-4 win and save number 30 for Class A. Who? If you've been paying attention, and I know, Mitch, you have been all over this. You care about the record books. He now has 140 saves. That brings him to where?
Second all-time in franchise history, 9 saves behind the current leader, former reliever Cody Allen.
So he passed Bob Wickman. I know the
big night for him.
The save record, probably not one of those that even the diehard fan is constantly referring
to. No, I mean, I'm sure people are aware Cody Allen had the most in history just because it's recent. Yeah. Like, it's not as if someone from, you know, the late 40s or early.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
50s when the franchise was really good had that record, so I
imagine
think that,
how many would have if Andrew Miller wouldn't have been here screwing things up for him.
Oh, that's true. It's a good point.
But I think people are aware of it, but I'm not going to, when Emmanuel Clase's time in Cleveland is over, whenever that comes, I'm not going to think of him, oh, you know, all-time saves leader. Like, I will think of him as the dominant pitcher that he is, but that is not a statistic that I think of as this crazy cool counting stat. Like, I think of, and maybe I'm probably wrong for this, but I think of pitcher wins still, like, as above saves in terms of just like historically how I think about guys. And I'm probably wrong for that, but I will always think of Class A as a guy that I love watching because of how dominant he is and how he makes some of the best hitters in the world look foolish. But I'm not gonna go, oh yeah, Cleveland's all-time saves leader.
If Class A is a Cy Young candidate this season, say a finalist or maybe even the winner, I don't know that that'll happen, but does that change your opinion on where he could end up and how you'd feel about him being the all-time saves leader?
No, because I think he could end up as a Hall of Fame, a member of the Hall of Fame. I think he could end up as that. Like, his ceiling is, if he does what he's done his time in Cleveland, if he does that for 7 more years, he could be in the Hall of Fame. He could win a Cy Young. Like, all those things are possible, but I'm not going to... The way I look at his career is, when we look back at it, I think saying that he's the all-time leader in saves or caring about that he's the all-time leader in saves is probably going to be pretty far down the accomplishment list. Like, we're going to think of him as a dominant closer. We're not going to be able to rattle off how many saves he had and how many he was above Cody Allen.
Man, he is only 26, and he has been a 3-time All-Star. And he has stuff that just simply looks unhittable.
He's on a Hall of Fame path. Like, if he keeps this up,
it's incredible. And it's so
he's a Hall of Famer.
I know we've been kind of spoiled, I think, Cleveland baseball over the years. We've always had above average closers, have we not? I mean, almost, I feel like my entire life we've had pretty good closers. I'll go back to Doug Jones, rest in peace. We've had really good closers.
I mean, Emmanuel Clase has pitched in 270 games for the Guardians, a 1.76 ERA. Like, he is, yeah, he's unhittable. He makes some of the best hitters in baseball look foolish. It is the only other guy in franchise history, and I think this is a reliever specific thing. I think it's hard to feel this way about a starting pitcher. If you could feel this way about a starting pitcher, Corey Kluber would probably be in this conversation too. But the only other guy that I have watched, and just like there are times where I will laugh because of how dominant it looks, the only guy I can compare him to is Andrew Miller. That's it. Like that, the list are just those two.
All right, so we had, oh, by the way, good pitching matchup today. We've got Flaherty. Is he for sure going, or because of his trade status, could be up in the air?
I would imagine he's still going. He's still got a week left in the deadline.
Yeah, he's still a week. That's true. Going up against Bibee, so good matchup today, and hopefully they can get the leg up. You're trying to win this series after losing the first game of the series. It was in peril yesterday, but they held on, so good news there. For that one, I think you know more and more people continuing to pay attention. Meanwhile, Amari Cooper signing that that deal. They got everything ironed out. I thought all along he was going to get another year. He did not. So I think that's probably this year right. For Amari Cooper. With that said, it's exciting to have them there on day one. Now, when it comes to who's going to be throwing him the football, Deshaun Watson, it's been very quiet. Honestly, even the critics have been quiet, and I don't know if it's a good thing because they're not even mentioning him. You know, I've brought this up over the last week. Wasn't even mentioned one time in that quarterback review by the executives at ESPN.
Right.
Not even mentioned.
But should he be?
Well, right. They had 10 quarterbacks, the top 10 quarterbacks, and they had honorable mention. So all in all, I think like 18 quarterbacks got mentioned. He was not one of them. So it's very weird because I think to that level, he's gone from, you know, a big disappointment, obviously, for the last 2 years. Is he getting slept on? Is he getting totally slept on? Like, we're just going to act around the NFL like he can't bounce back at all? I mean, last time we did see him, he was banged up and had his best half as a Cleveland Brown.
Yeah, but what's happened since then? He had to have surgery on his throwing shoulder. There's not, Anthony, and I understand everyone wants Deshaun Watson in this town to be good because if he's good, this Browns roster is so overwhelmingly loaded that if the quarterback play is good, this team's going to be awesome and a true Super Bowl contender. So I totally understand that aspect of things. But there's no precedent for Deshaun Watson being good again. Going through everything that he's went through, where you think about since 2020, Deshaun Watson has played in, 12 games since 2020? We're about to begin the 2024 season. By the way, he also just had surgery on his throwing shoulder. How many quarterbacks in NFL history can you say those things about where they've played 12 games over a three-season stretch and had surgery on their throwing shoulder, and then they came back and they were not even top five? Because I think in today's NFL, that is a totally unfair ask for Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Yep. But top 10 caliber. How many guys have done? Exactly. So why would he be mentioned? Because he had one great half? Yeah. That second half against Baltimore, he was awesome. You know what he was in the first half? Terrible.
He was terrible. Yeah.
He could be. I think that it's much more likely he is average to below average than he's great. And I think probably he's going to be somewhere in the middle. Like, he'll probably be slightly above average, and that's not going to be good enough because they need him to be great.
All right, you're hearing the voice of Danny Cunningham. Now you're going to hear the voice of Dan Orlovsky.
I think it's more likely that Deshaun and that time that he had in Houston is the best that we will ever see him, and that he is who he's been in the last, I guess, 2 years. And that obviously is really difficult to say because I was as big a fan of that player on the field as I was of anybody in the league. I think that there's a couple factors attached to it. Number one, Deshaun over the last 3 seasons hasn't shown us that he is what he was in that stretch in Houston, shoot up until that 2020 season.
Look, Deshaun has not given. That was on the afternoon show yesterday with Nick and Dustin, with Dan Orlovsky. So I get it. He has not done a ton to inspire a ton of confidence. Now, I get it every day. People tweeting me. And as always, social media reaction on X brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. But when they tweeted me, they bring up the second half of the Baltimore game. When they tweeted me, they bring up his record last year. It was not an offense that was necessarily tailored for him. Which is interesting because when they did get him, the whole point was that
to build around him.
And he was excited about the offense. So I understand the trepidation. I understand why there's not the same type of confidence that maybe you had when he was walking through those doors 2 years ago. With all of that said, I do think people are sleeping on him. Like, if as long as, and this is an if, and then I think this is part of your point, Danny, as long as he can throw the football somewhat like he used to, getting pretty close to just health. I was worried about health going into the
offseason. I think that's a big worry.
And I get that.
He had surgery on his throwing shoulder. That doesn't happen.
I will say, and normally I am very cynical on these things, not just a successful surgery, but from the people that I trust that are around him, they say it looks decent. Now, that's before guys are, you know, barreling down on him and, you know, it's non-contact. Like, I get it. Could look very different. But just athletically, him, I think if they restructure some of the game and allow him to get back to some of the stuff that made him so successful in Houston, couldn't that be half the battle? Couldn't that bring out more of the big-time playmaking from Deshaun Watson?
I mean, it could, but I just don't have faith that it will. I have a lot of questions about him physically. I've got questions about if he has adjusted back to the speed of the game, because that's the other thing that doesn't get talked about. When you miss as much time as he's missed, whether it for off-the-field reasons, for injury reasons, the game, the speed of the game only gets faster, and it only becomes more and more difficult to adjust back to it. I don't know that he's been able to read defenses as well in Cleveland as he could in Houston.
Well, because, that is a question.
Because I don't know that the processing speed for him, which in Houston was really good, it's not a matter of this guy was just never capable of it. That's not true. It's, I don't think he's gotten that back. I don't think he has gotten his processing speed to how quick he can read defenses back to what it was in Houston. I think that is part of the reason why you've seen him at times. He's made some incredible athletic plays, but there have been other times where he, I think, has looked pretty hesitant, and I think that's why.
All right, I got a thought on that. 216-474-0092. You didn't hear a lot of hope in that segment for Deshaun Watson. You, the fans, do you start to build up some hope as we get into the season? Ryan Wilson will join us at 9 o'clock. We'll ask him that as well from CBS Sports. He covers football. And Team USA basketball, they only get talked about when they lose or struggle. What is the point of Team USA basketball? We'll get into that next here on Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. All right, it is, you know, the week of training camp. And I don't know whose call it was to play the audio from Dan Orlovsky from the afternoon show yesterday, where he basically said your quarterback's never going to be as good as he used to be ever again.
And everything is bad and you're all doomed.
And then I don't know who picked Danny Cunningham to come in today and then basically repeat the same thing Dan Orlovsky said. You know, come on. There's got to be some.
I was a last minute addition. I got a text yesterday afternoon. Hey, can you do this?
Okay, I know.
I'm saving your life right now.
I do appreciate that. But I do think it's a little crazy, and that's coming from me, who is pretty down on Deshaun. Now, the reason that I'm down on Deshaun is because I propped him up more than almost anybody in this town, which you shouldn't have needed me to do it. You should just watch the games in Houston. He was incredible.
He was awesome.
He was extraordinary. And it's because he's been nothing like that. Like, you guys could call the second half of Baltimore whatever you want. Jason Lloyd was irate yesterday. He said people are clinging to that.
They are.
Like crazy. Well, what else do you have? I mean, I can understand if you want to be optimistic. I have seen him play more impressively than I saw that half. I got to tell you, I've seen him put whole games together against really good defenses and where he made way more plays than he made, even though he was 14 of 14. I've seen him play better quarterback. All that is to say, like, I know he's got another level in him. Now, what you're nervous about, I don't know what to say. I mean, his shoulder, until I could be in the, well, until I see a camp, but then I'm going to have no hope until I see it. So I'm not going to just have no hope for the next 2 months until the season gets underway.
He has another level in him. There's no doubt about that. Anyone, I mean, you said it, just go watch the games in Houston. There are not just another level. There are several levels that are still there. I just don't know if he can access them anymore. I don't know if he's available to get to that level. That's the question. It's never been for me about how talented he is. Like, I watched him in Houston. He was incredible. Even at Clemson, he was unbelievable how good he was. I could not believe how far he fell in that draft because he was that good, and he's always been that good. But while he's been a member of the Browns, he's been nowhere near that level. It's been a really long time since he's played at that level. So I cannot allow myself to believe that it's a sure thing he's going to be the guy that was in Baltimore for the second half of that game consistently. Is he going to flash here and there? Probably. And those flashes are going to keep people coming back. But I don't think he's going to get there consistently because I haven't seen it in 5 years. It's been since 2019 since he played at a level even close to his peak. That's a long time. So in the NFL, that is a longer period than the average career. The average NFL career has started and ended since Deshaun Watson was considered to be elite.
Owen, do you remember the playoff game against Kansas City, the Texans, Kansas City,
yes.
And it was a shootout?
Yes.
And
the Texans were up big early in that, ended up blowing it. They lost by 21, but they were up by 21 at one point in that game as well.
Would you have said, and again, that was what? Was that 2018?
That was 2019.
Would you have said at that time that Deshaun Watson had the opportunity to be, if not the best quarterback in the NFL, because obviously you had Mahomes and you were pretty excited right. about Mahomes.
But this is pre a Mahomes Super Bowl, too.
True. Yeah, yeah.
This is, I mean, after that season and then the next season, you know, what Bill O'Brien did to trade away Hopkins and things like that, like, obviously hurt the offense in Houston, but I thought he was the number four quarterback in the league after the 2020 season.
I remember saying all the time, top five, and he could be
yeah.
top two.
Yeah.
And so that's why I've been so frustrated, because while you guys are talking halves, I'm like, man, there were stretches where he played like that in multiple games where he looked like he could be the best quarterback in the league.
Well, I remember when the Browns went to Houston, I think this might have been Baker Mayfield's rookie year, so 2018, and we were all feeling really good about Baker. We were feeling really good about the Browns, and Deshaun Watson just absolutely destroyed the Browns' defense. He lit up Cleveland. I'm like, wow. Baker, my thought back then was, Baker Mayfield is so far away from this guy. Like, Deshaun Watson, who I don't know where he is age-wise compared with Baker, but he's not too far away. Baker's got to be able to get to this level. Like, that's what I thought of Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And right now, he's a shell of that guy.
I have hope. I still have hope. All right, Danny, last time we saw Team USA basketball, they needed LeBron James to be heroic in the fourth quarter. They scored 11 points. We know he's going to be the flag bearer. He had the big go-ahead basket late. His bully ball, getting to the bucket. He's been by far and away the best player in the team. No Kawhi, no Kevin Durant as of yet. Joel Embiid's been a disaster.
Terrible.
But so
the fact we're saying this about a 39-year-old is incredible.
It is. It is. So I got to ask you, it seems like Team USA, in a way, there's almost no good to derive from anything Team USA basketball-wise. They are supposed to win.
Mm-hmm.
Anything short of a gold medal in the Olympics is a total embarrassment,
mm-hmm.
a total failure. And we've gotten to the point where winning exhibition games closely is kind of embarrassing.
I mean, it depends who it's against. It does depend who
against
it's against.
The South Sudan.
South Sudan,
they
yes.
They were 45-point favorites in that game, and they squeaked out a victory.
There are some other countries, and we are, as a nation, adjusting to the rest of the world being really good at basketball now, because when all this started, and every team in Olympic history is going to be compared to who? The Dream Team, the 92 Olympic squad, who they faced something like it was either, I think it was 7 or 9 combined NBA players in the entire Olympics. Like, the rest of the world was not nearly what the rest of the world is now in basketball, to where this might be the first time the United States is going into the Olympics and a different country has the best player in the world. This is probably the first time that's ever happened. Now,
saying Serbia?
I'm Serbia, Nikola Jokic. Yeah, I'm not saying that they're going to win the gold medal. I don't think that they will. I don't think the rest of the team around him is strong enough. But I just think that speaks to what the rest of the world is. Yeah, the South Sudan thing, not great. But you can look up and down at other rosters, and I don't think there's another roster nearly as complete as Team USA. But you can't look at Canada's roster and say, yeah. well, they're not formidable. You can't say
they
that
got,
stuff
they got
anymore.
Great players.
Go look at France. Go look at Serbia. There's so much international talent now that the United States winning an Olympic game by 5 points eight years ago was embarrassing, where now I don't think it would be.
If they, like when Michael Phelps was winning, we were all, I don't care who you are and if you cared about swimming, you're at the edge of your seat and you were pulling for him, right? You were going nuts for that dude. How will you feel if LeBron James, Steve Kerr, Team USA stand up on that podium with their gold medals? Will you feel anything?
I'll be happy. I want to, as someone who has watched LeBron's entire career, and I'm a fan of LeBron, like I want to see
to
him.
Be happy for him.
I'll be happy for him. I think it's really cool that someone from Akron, Ohio is the flag bearer at the Olympics for the United States. That's awesome.
I think that is cool.
I think that's a really cool thing. I'll be happy for them. This is essentially what I presume your life is like in the fall as an Ohio State fan, where if they don't win every week, it's a failure. And oftentimes, if they win by not enough points, it's a failure. I think that's exactly what this is.
What a lot of Ohio State fans feel.
So as someone who's not an Ohio State fan, I'm excited to feel what it's like to be stressed out about not being good enough, even though you're still the best.
All right, we'll get back to this. I'm curious what other people think, what their emotions will be, because they're supposed to win, and anything short of that is going to be perceived as a total disaster.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.